plastic teachers with plastic words. That's what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, warns us about today as our study of God's Word continues on through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to grab your Bible and open it to the New Testament book of 2 Peter chapter 2, starting with verse 3. And if you're joining us for the first time, Through the Bible is a five-year study of God's entire Word that alternates between the Old and New Testaments. For example, I just mentioned that we're in the New Testament book of 2 Peter right now, but in a couple of weeks, we'll return to the Old Testament with terrific studies of Obadiah and Jonah. Now, Dr. McGee affectionately named this journey the Bible Bus, and as eventually we do travel through all 66 books. So every study is designed for you to hop on board at any time and ride as long as you can, hopefully for at least 5 years. Some of our faithful Bible students have been on the bus literally for decades, and for many others, this is just their first book. However long you've been with us, we're so happy to have you here, and every weekday, we got a seat reserved just for you. So go ahead and hop aboard as often as you can. If you listen by radio and you happen to miss a program, just go to ttb.org or any of our other apps, and you can stream or download any study for free. Now, to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of those that are studying His Word together with us on Through the Bible, we love to share letters from our family. So, in fact, this now is Letter Month here at Through the Bible, and it's a special time when we encourage you to tell us how God is changing your heart and life through our studies together. Here's one. This is a letter from a listener in India. "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and a regular listener of your Gujarati program," this friend writes. "I listen with my family most of the time. I'm now listening to the study of Daniel. It is a wonderful teaching. I'm able to learn deep truths and feel as though the Word of God is like valuable pearls. It is helpful to follow this teaching in my life, and I like to share it with other people too. And I am a farmer. It is the harvest season of maize, and we are going to sow grams. Please pray for us and for our family." And then here's a letter. This is from Cambodia. "I'm a single young man and the only Christian in my family. I often feel alone. To strengthen my faith, I go to my small church, meet with some Christian friends, read the Bible, and after my pastor recommended it, I began to listen to your programs in my language of Khmer. God has touched my heart through His Word as I study with you. By listening, my faith is stronger and I know more about His Word and who Christ is to me. You have shown me the way to serve God, and I know God is calling me to serve His church. My pastor has helped me, and I have passed the test to begin my training. Please pray for me that God may use me." Well, what's your story? We really would love to hear from you. So you can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org, or you can send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Canadian listeners, write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. And if you'd like to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, then you need to sign up for our world prayer team today by going to ttb.org/pray. You'll be glad you did. Let's pray and prepare our hearts for our study now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that your blessing on your Word and each one of us who listens today would be so evident. Help us to listen with open hearts, ready to hear the important lessons that you have to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we are in this section of 2 Peter in the second chapter, verse 3. We didn't quite finish it last time, where we're looking at the heresies that would come in through the teachers. Apostasy that would be brought into the church by false teachers. And he's describing those false teachers. Now, he gives an example that is actually three examples from the past of where heresy had come in, false teaching had come in, and people had turned from God. They were religious. Never been a time when man's not religious. It'd be very difficult to find any people that are not religious. But we have here three examples given that are warnings that God does judge. Now, that comes in verse 3. We begin there. "And through covetousness shall they," that is the false teachers, "they with vain words," that is with plastic words, words that they're just molded words. They fit the people they're talking to. They speak one thing to one crowd and they talk differently to another crowd. And unfortunately, there are ministers like that today. I know a man that can bring a fundamental message if he's in a fundamental group. But when he gets with the liberal group, he's just about as liberal as they are. He's a plastic preacher. You just pour him in any mold, you see, and comes up with anything. Plastic is very nice, but I've learned several things about plastic. You better be very careful how you use it and that sort of thing. It's easy to push it and change its shape, especially if you put something in a plastic bottle and the thing gets smashed, the stuff will run all over the place if you're not careful. And so we have that word used here. And he says they'll make merchandise of you. In other words, they're doing it for money. And that's the reason that I personally resent all forms of promotion today. Now, every time I take a trip and come back, I sit at my wastebasket, and sometimes I will pitch in the wastebasket without opening lettuce because I know who they come from. The label's on the outside, and I've been getting letters from years. I've never given to those organizations, but I get their propaganda. I don't know why they keep sending all that out. But I do know this, they want to make merchandise of me. Because actually, we ought to only appeal to folks that are interested in a certain work. And that's my reason for saying that if it's a mission organization, then you ought to be interested in that mission organization. And there are many fine mission organizations. And I want to say this, there are many fine radio programs too, Christian radio programs. But there's some that are nothing in the world but promotion. And what we're trying to get through here is this, that one of the marks of a false teacher is that he is a promoter, that all he's interested in is not giving you the word of God, not attempting to help you, but he is attempting to get something from you, makes merchandise of you. That is, he wants to trade with you. You are sort of a food stamp for him, or maybe a luxury car for him. Now, will you notice this? Whose judgment now for a long time lingereth not. The thing that has disturbed a great many folk, including those in the Bible, David was disturbed that the wicked were getting by with it, so he thought. Then he said, I went in the temple, and what did he learn in the temple? All he learned in the temple was this, that God was in charge, and he'll take care of it. And that's the reason Paul was, you remember, mistreated again and again, and Paul resented it. He would not let the Philippians turn him out of jail at night and let him leave town. He was a Roman citizen. He forced them to do it the right way, you see. But Paul says, don't take vengeance. Why? He says, because you turn your case over to God. And the minute that you try to get vengeance, you're taking God's place because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And you depart from your walk of faith. You see, when you walk by faith, it doesn't mean that you are a milquetoast that everybody can push you around and treat you anyway. No, it means this. All right, brother, you have mistreated me, and you've done this to me, and I'm going to turn you over to the Lord. You remember Paul said Alexander the coppersmith, silversmith, was it? Well, he's one of the smiths. He's done me much wrong. And Paul says, the Lord will reward him. The Lord will take care of him. I turned him over to the Lord, Paul says, concerning another brother that mistreated him. May I say to you, vengeance is mine, I will repay. The Lord says, you let me handle these cases. Now here, God's going to take care of these false teachers someday. I'll be very frank. When I heard of the death of a liberal not long ago, a man said to me, well, says he's better off today than he was when he was in this life. I said, you just think he's better off. I don't want to go in the presence of God someday, friends, and have to give an account for the fact that on this radio program, God is going to say, look, McGee, you came to a passage of Scripture there, and you soft-pedaled that because of the fact that you was afraid of criticism, and you didn't say it like it's written. And he'd hold me accountable for that. I got to turn in a report to him for this radio program. And may I say to you, you've got to turn in an account to God also. Now, he says, this thing, it looks like it's slumbering. Looks like God is taking a nap today. Doesn't seem to be doing very much, but he is, friends. And Habakkuk had that question, and Habakkuk found out that the Lord is moving too fast for him. We'll see that when we get to it. Now he gives an example, and when I say an example, actually a threefold example. He gives an example of the angels first. Let me read verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now here is an unusual statement. You mean angels sin? Yes, angels sin. And this is an example of the way the devil works. Now he gives another example, and that's Noah. And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah. And that's the world. And then he gives the third example in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. That's the flesh. So you have here the world, the flesh, and the devil. Only Peter puts the devil first. The devil, the world, and the flesh. These are the three enemies that you and I need to beware of. And not only beware of them, John's going to tell us, and he's the apostle of love, he says, love not the world, the things that are in the world. That doesn't mean the beautiful flowers and the mountains and the scenery and the sea, but it means the world system down here that is against God. And he's going to talk here first, though, about the devil and about the fact that God in the past has judged angels. Now we're moving into an area that is highly debatable and very popular today. And there's too much attention being given to this. Books are being written today about Satan and about demons and that sort of thing. And I suppose they have their place. But my feeling is that we need the positive side emphasized more. I have a message on who is Antichrist. And I always conclude that message by saying, well, you can see I don't know much about Antichrist, and I don't want to know much about him. The one I want to know is the Lord Jesus Christ, and I can't find anywhere Paul says that I might know the Antichrist. And I can't find any writer saying that I might know the Antichrist, but Paul says that I might know him, the Lord Jesus, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And it's life eternal to know God, the Father, and the Son, the Lord Jesus, that he sent. And I can't find anywhere where you to know Antichrist or to know all about Satan. We're not ignorant of his devices. We need to beware of him. But you can pay too much attention to that. But where it's found in the Word of God, I'm going to deal with it. And so here for a few moments, let's deal with this. Verse 4 again. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now, there are a great many that consider that refers to Genesis 6. I do not, because I do not believe that the sons of God there were angels. I think it's the genealogy of man we're talking about in Genesis. You have the genealogies. It's that family that was leading to the coming of Christ that would bring him into the world. And that line was intermarrying with the world, the line of Cain. And that brought about a generation that caused God to finally bring the flood. Now, I don't think this is any reference to that at all. The next verse up here will refer to the flood, but under altogether different caption, it's the world. Now, here it is the devil. What does it have reference to? Now, I'll have to do just a little bit of speculating, and yet Scripture gives us some hazy viewpoint of this. We're going to find that Jude refers to this again. The book of Revelation gives us some inkling, and several of the prophets open this area to us just a little. You see, before man was put on this earth, and actually man is a sort of a Johnny come lately on the earth. We haven't been here too long. And before man was here, apparently there was another creation that was here. And God had a program going before man appeared on the scene. And there were many created intelligences. Now, among those angels that were messengers of God, God's creation, some of them rebelled against him and apparently followed Satan. Now, we are going to be told here that some of them are already in chains. They are already incarcerated. But some of them apparently were not brought into that place yet of being inoperative, but they are very active in the world today. And I believe those are the demons that we read about in the Word of God. And I think that we're seeing today a reappearance of the supernatural. I have in my study at home a whole section of books that have come to me over the years on this subject, and I have been very carefully, meticulously working on a message that I have not yet given and not ready to give it. Not sure I'm going to give it on the subject of demons, because there's so much that's false that's going abroad today. But there is a reality in the supernatural world. And because a so-called miracle takes place today doesn't mean God did it. After all, Satan has a certain power. Now, this is a reference to that which took place before man was put on this earth, when there was a rebellion against God led by Satan, and we're told that he carried with him a tremendous company of God's created intelligences that we call angels. Verse 4, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell." Now, the word for hell here is an unusual word. It doesn't occur in very many places in Scripture. The word is Tartarus. It actually comes out of the Greek. The Greeks spoke of the lost being in Tartarus. And it is not hell as we think of it. Hell has not really been opened up to do business yet. Hell will not be opened up till much later. The devil is not in hell. He's abroad in God's creation today, goes in the presence of God, according to the book of Job, and he goes up and down this earth seeking whom he may devour. Peter's going to tell us that he's like a roaring lion going up and down the earth. He's not in hell, but certain of his angels have already been incarcerated. And we're told here they're delivered them into chains of darkness. And here's another very interesting word. The word here for chain is sarais. And there are many that believe that it should be sarois, for it is that in many of the better texts. And sarois means pits or caverns. The two words are very similar, sarais, sarois. And so apparently it means here that what we have are pits of darkness to be reserved under judgment. Now, I don't want to elaborate on this either today, but people think of hell as being a place of fire, but I think it's a place of darkness. And darkness and fire just don't go together. Fire makes light. And this is something for you to think about. Can you think of being in darkness for eternity to be reserved unto judgment? You see, they have not yet been judged. Now, that's the first example he gives that God intends to judge evil, the devil, that which is false. Now we come to verse 5, "And he spared not the old world." And he's going to talk in chapter 3 about three worlds, the world that was, the world that is, the world that will be. I have a little book. Now that one we're sending to folk who send in a gift. At this time we're studying 2 Peter, and the title of the book is Three Worlds in One. And it's on 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. We'll be getting to that. Now, he spared not the old world, that is, before Noah, but he saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now, the people were religious. They just left God out of their religion, that's all, the living and true God. They were living as if God did not exist at all. And they were living in the flesh. And believe me, the idea today that you and I in the flesh have some good, Paul says that there's absolutely no good in us at all. Paul says, "I have discovered that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." I have before me a report that's made by Dr. Turnbull in his book, Mountain People. Those that have been discovered in Africa, and he's made a study of these people. And they absolutely are living, according to him, lower than animals. Children are cast off by the mother at the age of 3. They must provide for themselves or die. They find berries and bark and insects, and they scavenger around what is left of wild animals. And the stronger literally take food from the mouths of the elderly. And the author said that it would be an insult to animals to call their behavior bestiality. Now, this man's not a Christian, and he describes these people. They are called the IK, the ick. The ick teaches us. Now, this is what Dr. Turnbull, who's a humanist, he's not a Christian, he says the ick teaches us that our much vaunted human values are not inherent in humanity at all, but are associated only with a particular form of survival called society, and that all, even society itself, are luxuries that can be dispensed with. In other words, man apart from God is nothing in the world but an animal, and it's an insult to an animal to say that man is that. You see, it's God that gives values. It's God that gives moral standards today, and none of them are inherent in us today. And it was that kind of a world that God destroyed at the flood. Every thought and imagination, the heart of man was evil, and was evil continually. And violence was abroad in the earth at that day. And God did well in bringing judgment at that particular time. And maybe you don't like that. And I'm sorry if you don't. But you happen to be living in God's world, and this world is going to be run according to His rules. You can be sure of that. You can either conform or move out. And I don't know where you're going if you move out, but you have to go somewhere. Now, will you notice he mentions the third, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto us that after should live ungodly. Now, that's the flesh that God judged there. They were given over to sodomy. Homosexuality was approved in Sodom in the United States. Probably the only two nations that have ever given legal approval to this awful thing that man indulges in. We're going to talk about that next time, and about why God delivered Lot. After all, when I read his story in Genesis, he doesn't look very good to me. But God delivered him, and we're going to see why next time. This is a tremendous section, friends, that we're in. Three examples of the judgment of God in the past. And my friends, he hasn't changed. If he did it in the past, he's going to do it in the future also. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
As Dr. McGee said, there is certainly a lot more to learn from 2 Peter chapter 2. So if you want to hear teaching straight from God's Word, no matter how difficult it may be to hear, then you need to join us here on Through the Bible, and as always, invite a friend to join you as well. And the best way to get the most out of our time in God's Word is to download and review Dr. McGee's free notes and outlines, and most importantly, read the section of Scripture we're covering both before and after the study. To get yours immediately, visit ttb.org and click on the banner that says Briefing the Bible. Or to get an abbreviated print version by mail, you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or write to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. And for more great ministry from Through the Bible, sign up to get our monthly newsletter either in the mail or by email. Just call us, 1-800-65-BIBLE, if we can help you get set up on that mailing list. Or visit ttb.org and sign up yourself online. And while you're visiting us at ttb.org, download the booklet Dr. McGee mentioned today titled Three Worlds in One. It's one of more than 100 of Dr. McGee's booklets that we have available for free download. Just visit the resources section and click on free booklets, and it'll get you the whole list there. Another one that I'd recommend is our featured booklet this month. It's called The Not-So-Bad Sin and How It's Keeping You from God. It's a fresh look and a new title, and this favorite teaching from Dr. McGee is really perfect for anyone who wants to draw closer to God, but maybe you need a first step. The booklet gives you one thing to look for and change that will make all the difference. Again, Three Worlds in One and The Not-So-Bad Sin and How It's Keeping You from God. They're available at ttb.org. If you need help finding the booklets or any other Bible study resource, you can always call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you here on Monday as the Bible bus rolls back by your corner at this time. Until then, may the Lord bless you as you set your heart on things above.
Jesus made it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know Him yet?